Mark chapter 1. And we want to begin tonight in verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils or demons, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Father, we thank you for this time that we have in your word. We thank you, Lord, for this time to consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus as he began preaching throughout Galilee. Just give us a better understanding, Lord, of our Savior and his ministry. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking through the Gospels now for the last 2 years, about 2 years now, and we've arrived at chapter 1 in Mark. And that's because the Gospels, not all of them are chronological, and not all of them contain all the information the other Gospels do. So there are many things that Mark, the shortest of the four Gospels, there were many things, obviously, that he left out. Almost everything we've touched on so far, Mark did not mention in his gospel. So we're picking this up. The Lord Jesus, that morning, we looked last week, that morning, the Lord Jesus and his four disciples went into the synagogue in Capernaum, and there Jesus healed a man who had been possessed of a demon. And by the way, it says devils. Just means there's only one devil, as we think. There's only one Satan. These were demons that Mark is describing for us. In that early synagogue worship service, the Lord Jesus cast the demon out of this man, and everybody in that synagogue was amazed at what they heard him speak with all authority, and they were amazed also that he backed it up by casting out the demons, and they were amazed that the demons obeyed his word. He spoke, and they obeyed. Now we pick this up in verse 29, and here we read, and forthwith, that means immediately. And in the context here, it means immediately after leaving the synagogue. So here we know that the Lord Jesus and his four disciples, who we recently called from their fishing business to follow him. It says in verse 29, and forthwith, when they, Jesus and his four disciples, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon, or Peter, and Andrew, his brother, with James and John, the other two disciples the Lord called on the Sea of Galilee. So this happened right after they left the synagogue. They left the synagogue and they went to Peter's house for dinner. Or that was the intention. They went straight to the family home of Simon and his brother Andrew. Now, not to be confused, in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, we're told that Peter lived in Bethsaida. And Peter did live in Bethsaida. And if you want to find a contradiction in the Bible, here's one you can clamp onto, if you will. John says he lived in Bethsaida, and Mark says he lived in Capernaum. Well, has anybody here ever lived in two different towns throughout their lifetime? People do move, you know. This is not a contradiction. Earlier, Peter did live in Bethsaida, and evidently they were now living. They changed, they moved, and now they were living in Capernaum. Now, this home may have belonged to Peter and his wife, and it may be that his mother-in-law was living there as well, and also his brother Andrew. Having extended family members live together was not unusual in those days. But this is where the Lord Jesus went. And in fact, this is where the Lord Jesus went often throughout his ministry in Galilee. So here we see right after that, just an extremely unusual synagogue service that morning. This man had a demon cast out of him. They left, they went into the home of Peter and Andrew, his brother, and they went there for the Sabbath meal. And they took the Lord Jesus with them. And one man noted a good application. Don't leave Jesus at church. Take him home with you. That's what these folks did. And just think of the privilege that this family had, literally. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming to visit them personally in their home. And the Lord Jesus was going to eat a meal with them. Now, when they got there, they discovered that Peter's wife was unable to prepare a meal. She seems to have been preoccupied with her mother, she was busy taking care of her mother who had a fever. So here were men, hungry men that came in, hungry fishermen. They had just been to the synagogue. They heard Jesus teach with all authority. They saw him cast a demon out of a man. They saw the whole congregation in absolute astonishment, and now they come home excited, and they're going to tell, and they wanted to tell Peter's mother-in-law, obviously, and others that were in the home. And they found, the Lord Jesus found, that this became the center, really. This was the house where the Lord Jesus would come back to and back to and back to after all his trips throughout Galilee. He always seemed to come back to the home of Peter and Andrew. And this is the house that is mentioned so often in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, it's just called the house. In verse 29, it says, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, meaning just the house of Peter and Andrew. And we see this mentioned several times. It's mentioned again in Mark chapter 9 and again in Mark chapter 10. This was the house. And Mark expected his readers throughout the rest of the gospel to understand what he meant by the house. He tells us in the first chapter, it's the house of Peter, and Andrew, his brother, was living there. And the Lord Jesus came for dinner that day, and he kept coming back. Remember, the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. So Jesus comes to their house, and look in verse 30 and 31. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So here we see in that house, Peter's mother had a fever. This was not just a cold, this was a severe sickness that this woman had. In fact, Luke tells us, Luke has a parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and in that parallel passage, Luke, remember Luke was a physician, and Luke tells us that it wasn't just a fever, but he said it was a mega fever. It was an intense fever. We don't know exactly what that meant. But Luke also used a tense that spoke of continuous action, which probably indicated that this was some kind of a chronic problem, or at least a long-standing fever that this woman had, a long-standing mega, the Greek word, or great fever that she had. Maybe it was malaria or typhus or some other kind of serious sickness. And so as soon as the Lord Jesus entered into the house, they all told him that Peter's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever. And you might want to note here that Peter had a wife. Peter was married, and perhaps he had children as well. Now think of that in light of the Lord having just called him, and Andrew and James and John. Peter, we don't know about the other apostles, but we do know that Peter was married. And if he was married, he probably had children. And the Lord was calling him to forsake everything and follow him. Leave your business behind. And no, that sheds a little light on the passage when the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, Following me is going to sound like you hate your mother and father. You may have to leave them behind. And on occasions, they did, obviously, had to leave their families behind. So here we have Peter, and we discover that he was married. And well, now, that's an interesting thought, that the first pope had a wife. I'm speaking facetiously here. But Jesus heard about Peter's mother-in-law, and notice his response. It says he went straight towards her. He went right towards her, and he took her up by the hand, and he lifted her up out of bed. It was like nothing. It was effortless, it seemed like, on the part of the Lord Jesus, and that's because he is almighty. That's because he is omnipotent. That's because he is God. And I'd like for us to turn to Matthew chapter 8 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 8, we have this parallel passage. And Matthew just adds a little term that Mark doesn't use. And when you put them together, you get a better picture for what happened. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15, here Matthew says, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them." So Matthew adds just this one extra little word that is helpful. The Lord Jesus touched her. And Luke adds another detail. Remember, Luke was the physician, and Luke said that the Lord Jesus stood over her like a doctor would at a patient's bedside. The Lord Jesus, the great physician, stood over her, and he touched her hand. And immediately upon the touch, she was healed of that great fever. And in fact, Matthew tells us, Luke adds another detail, that Jesus rebuked the fever and it left her. So he touched this woman's hand, he rebuked the fever, and instantly that fever was gone. And when you put Matthew, Mark, and Luke all together, John doesn't mention this incident, but when you put them together, we get a fuller and richer picture of what happened here. The Lord Jesus, supernaturally, with just a touch, he healed this woman. He touched her. There was no ceremony. There was no anointing of oil. There was no lengthy process or a series of steps to be taken. There was no medication. There was no weeks of therapy. He touched her, and she was healed. You know, on the most basic level, we can see this as an expression of the love and the compassion of Christ for those who are sick. And certainly we're going to see that all throughout the Gospels. When the Lord Jesus healed someone, yes, it was an expression of the love of God and the compassion of God. But there's something even more important in the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to look at this time and time again. And that is, when Jesus healed, it was an indication, it was a sign to Jews who seek signs, it was a sign that Jesus Christ is the Messiah King that they had been waiting for. That's what Isaiah said would happen. The blind would see, the lame would leap. And now the Lord Jesus is demonstrating that he's the one, he's that Messiah King that Isaiah and all the other prophets predicted would come. And so what we see here is an expression of God's concern, both for the spiritual condition of this woman and also of her physical condition. God is concerned for people on earth because of the spiritual oppression of a demonic-run world system. And of course, the Lord is also shows compassion on people who live in a cursed earth. We live in a planet that is under the curse of God, that our sin brought upon us. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to demonstrate that God still cares about people who live in a sin-cursed earth. And God still cares about people who are oppressed. And think of the nature of this healing. He touched her, and instantly, immediately, The fever left her. No process, no gradual starting to feel a little better. Oh, I think I'm feeling a little better than this morning. No, this was instant. And the fever was completely gone in a moment's time. Now, that's contrary to all natural processes. And we know that it happened instantly, not just because it says that the fever left her, but she got up and she started ministering. You know, normally it takes the body time to recuperate. So not only was there the miracle of the fever that had a grip on her body, the first miracle was the fever left her. And the second miracle was that there was no recuperation period. You know, if you have a chronic fever, and you've been laid up for a long time, if you have typhoid or fever or malaria or some other kind of fever like that, even if the fever begins to leave or is gone, it takes a while for your body to catch up. You don't just instantly pop out of bed and start cleaning the kitchen and preparing a meal like Peter's mother-in-law did. In one moment's time, she had complete strength, as if it had never happened. And so she got up, and it says that she ministered to them. She started cooking the Sabbath meal. That's why Peter invited them over there for their Sabbath meal. And notice also that this woman got up in verse 31. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. This was this woman's way of saying thank you to the Lord. The Lord touched her, and she wanted to say thank you. The Lord intervened in her life, and she wanted to say thank you. The Lord healed her, and she wanted to say thank you, Lord. And how did she express it? By getting up and serving and ministering to the Lord Jesus. You know, this is a great way to say thank you to God today as well. Now, we can't serve the Lord Jesus directly, physically, and literally because He's in heaven. But did you know that His body is still on earth? And the way we treat His body is a reflection of our real heart's attitude towards the Lord Himself. If we want to say thank you to the Lord, minister to His body. Get involved in serving in the local church. If God has touched your life, if God has shown grace to you, then the only proper response is to serve the Lord. Just like Paul said, the Lord saved him and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God didn't save us just to sit in pews. And so Jesus and His disciples, they were going to need some strength that day. They were going to need that meal that Peter's mother-in-law got up to serve, because by the time sunset came, they were going to see half the town knocking on their front door. So God was preparing for what was about to come. Look in verse 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils or demons. So now it's eventime. It's the same day. It's the Sabbath. That morning they went to the synagogue. There they had a most spectacular service when the Lord Jesus taught with all authority and cast out the demons. And it says, and, this is a connective, this is the same setting, the same context, and that evening, right after leaving the synagogue, they went home to Peter's house. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. She got up, she made a meal for them, and they were thrilled and excited. And evidently, their enthusiasm, their excitement, went beyond the walls of that house, and it spread around town. Now, that evening was the evening of the Sabbath. And so Mark makes it clear, he says something twice so we don't miss it. He says it was at evening, and it was the evening after the Sabbath. when the sun did set, because the Sabbath went from sunset to sunset. And so we might ask, so why is that important? Why did Mark tell us that it was when the sun set that everybody gathered around his front door? Well, the Jewish people lived under a very rigorous system. First of all, on the Sabbath, they were not to bear burdens. They were not to do certain kinds of work. But not only did they have the Mosaic Law, but they also had all the rules and regulations that the scribes and Pharisees had added to the Word of God, and all their traditions, which were a burden to carry out. And so the Jews naturally feared that if they took the sick to be healed on the Sabbath, that perhaps they'd be judged by God or judged by the scribes and the Pharisees. So they waited until the sun set. They waited until the Sabbath was over. They were afraid of breaking one of, they didn't even know all the rules. There were hundreds and hundreds of rules. They couldn't possibly have memorized them all. So they lived in fear and bondage under this very strict, legalistic system. Now, naturally, they didn't want to violate the law of Moses. But we're going to see in the very next chapter in the Gospel of Mark that carrying the sick to the Lord Jesus would not have been a violation of the Mosaic Law. Remember, Jesus said, which of you, if you had an animal that fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you grab that sheep and get him out of the pit? And they were trying to accuse the Lord Jesus of breaking the Sabbath by healing a man's withered arm. And the Lord Jesus said, no, look, even you would do it for an animal. How much more for a man made in the image of God? So it's not sin to do good on the Sabbath, was the lesson that Jesus taught. And certainly it would not have been sin to carry a man to Jesus. He would not have been upset. It would not have been a violation. But they still feared that they might, so they waited till the sun was set. And notice also in verse 32, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased. And that word brought is in the imperfect tense, which speaks of action in the past, continuous action in the past, meaning they kept on bringing these people to him. As soon as the sun set, they just kept coming in from all parts of town. And they brought in those that were sick of various diseases, all kinds of diseases, and they brought in those who were possessed of demons. Maybe they had to carry some, maybe they wheeled some, had to crawl or climb or however they got there, but they got there. And then we see in verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. What an incredible thought. Now, this wasn't a metropolitan area, but it was a good-sized town. And we're told here that the whole city was gathered together at the door, and they brought all the sick to be healed by the Lord Jesus. And here they are, all crowded around this one house. What a crowd. This should have been, to everybody in Capernaum, a wake-up call. They should have instantly thought to themselves, if they knew the Old Testament Scripture, look at all these sick people. Look at all these demonically oppressed people. Look at all these kinds of diseases that people have. Something's wrong. Remember what God promised under the Mosaic covenant? If you obey me, I will bless the fruit of your womb. God promised the Israelites under the Mosaic covenant that if they obeyed, they would be blessed physically. They would prosper and their bodies would be strong and healthy. And now, when the Lord Jesus comes into town, they have this whole crowd of sick people around his front door. It should have been a striking symbol or picture or image, if you will, of their spiritual condition. Listen to what Isaiah said of the spiritual condition of Israel in his day. He said, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And so Isaiah was picturing the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel by likening it to a sick and dying body with open sores and just a disgusting-looking picture. Well, here, everybody in Capernaum saw that disgusting-looking picture, a picture of the ravages and the consequences of sin. But the good news is they brought that picture to the Savior. And we're told here that Jesus healed all that came. Now, there's no indication that these were all believers. There's not any indication here that they were all had enough faith to be healed. Jesus did not respect persons on this occasion. He healed them all. The educated, the uneducated, the rich and the poor, every class of people. He had compassion on them all and he healed them all. In fact, what we see here is a picture that all who come to him were healed. All who come to him with sick, dying bodies, which was a picture of their spiritual condition under sin, all those sinners that came to the great physician were healed. Just like whosoever will may come to the Savior and be saved. And this illustrates for us the role of the Lord Jesus as Savior. He had compassion on the whole world, for God so loved the world. Whosoever will may come, bring them all, and they'll all be healed. And as Jesus said, all that come unto me I will in no wise cast out. And here's a great thought with our Lordship salvation folks who say, if you want to be saved, you have to repent of your sins, which in their mind doesn't just mean change your mind. Their understanding of repent of your sin means stop sinning. That would be like Jesus telling these sick people, if you want to be healed, get better before you come to me. Kind of a silly notion when you put it in those stark terms. No, whoever came to Jesus with all their sicknesses, just as I am, he healed them all. And nobody walked away from that healing ministry disappointed. Who was going to come to the great physician? Those who are sick and realize that they're sick. And Mark tells us this, a little more of this in chapter 2 as well. Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician. All the righteous, self-righteous Pharisees and the religious hierarchy who thought they were great in great shape before God, they didn't see themselves as sick, so they would never go to a physician. They didn't see themselves as sinners. They would never go to the Savior. But on this occasion, there was excitement in the air. On the one hand, imagine the horror and the fear of the demons. Remember what happened in the synagogue. The demons recognized the Lord Jesus. Nobody else did, but the demons said, I know thee, thou art the Holy One of God. And the demons said, art thou come to cast us out before our time? They were scared to death that the Lord Jesus, whom they knew from heaven, that he was going to cast them into the abyss. On the one hand, there was that. But on the other hand, imagine the anticipation and the excitement of the people who came to be healed and were healed. They waited till sunset and they all were brought there and they were all healed. And you know, this is another theme that we're going to see throughout the Gospels. The people were delighted here with the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He was no respecter of persons. Anybody that came could expect to be healed, to be touched and healed by the Lord Jesus, and they were thrilled and excited with the ministry of Christ. And in fact, they were even excited over the fact that he healed, that he cast that demon out on the Sabbath day. On the other hand, we have a clear contrast. Joy and excitement on the part of the common people over the ministry of Christ, and wrath and jealousy on the part of the religious leaders. They were fearful that they would lose their position because of Christ. And so they accused him of violating the Sabbath repeatedly. Now look in verse 34. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many demons. Now, here's a term that might confuse us on occasion. Sometimes the Bible writers use the word many. Sometimes they use the word all. And boy, that gets folks puzzled when it comes to the atonement of Christ. Did he die for the sins of many, or did he die for the sins of all? Well, we see the same thing here with respect to the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus. Mark tells us that Jesus healed many that were sick. Now, how many believe that Mark was accurate here? Do we believe that? Okay, Mark was accurate. But let's look at what Matthew said. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Mark tells us that he healed many that were sick. Matthew tells us that he healed all that were sick. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4. See what Luke says. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So Matthew and Luke are very clear that Jesus healed every last one of them. And when you put the three Gospels together, you get the whole picture. These are not contradictory, these are complementary. For example, if all we had were Matthew or Luke's account, just suppose we knew that he healed everybody that came that day. Maybe there were only two. And he healed everybody, but there were only two. But Mark tells us that there were many, and he healed everybody. And let's look in Romans chapter 5 in verse 18. Romans chapter 5 in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Paul uses these very same terms to describe mankind's association with Christ. Sometimes he uses the word many, sometimes he uses the word all, and we see that with respect of the atonement as well. Sometimes the Bible says that many were sinners, sometimes it says that all are sinners. Sometimes it says that many Christ died for many, and on other occasions it says that he died for the whole world, or he tasted death for every man, or he's the propitiation not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So which is it? Both. Don't let anybody convince you that these are contradictory. These terms are not mutually exclusive. Jesus healed all the sick that day, and there were many of them. And he healed all that were sick of diverse diseases, all kinds of different ailments and diseases. There was no disease that Jesus couldn't heal that day. Unlike the so-called faith healers of today. Often the faith healers of today major on healing ailments that cannot be verified. Lower back pain, earaches, headaches. But I'll tell you something you'll never see at a faith healing today. An amputee healed. You'll never see a man who was lame from his mother's womb for 40 years as a full-grown adult, never having been able to walk a step, all of his muscles in atrophy, jump up and leap for joy. But Jesus healed all the diseases. No matter what ailment they had, they all walked away healed and praising the Lord. And we're told in verse 34, back in Mark 1, that he cast out many demons. And the people were amazed. And so what we see here is a distinction that's made several times in the Gospels. And this is instructive for us. Those who were sick and those who were possessed of demons. It's not necessarily the same group of people. Not all sickness is caused by demonic activity. There are some occasions in the Gospels where it was, but not all. Sickness does not necessarily mean demonic activity. Sickness does not necessarily mean divine chastening. So we shouldn't, remember this morning, we shouldn't automatically assume the worst construction when we see someone sick. It doesn't mean that God is punishing them. Could mean that they're sick. We live in a cursed earth. And then we see something else here that we saw last week. We won't spend much time on it, but in verse 34, and it says, "And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many demons and suffered not the devils or the demons to speak because they knew him." The demons always recognized the Lord Jesus. They remembered him in glory before his divine radiance was veiled in human flesh in the incarnation. They knew that eternal Son of God. Sons of God came before the Lord, even in Job's day. So they knew the Lord Jesus. And they tried to acknowledge this publicly, but the Lord Jesus kept on telling them that he did not want to receive a witness from the demonic world. He came to save mankind. He didn't come to save demons or the angels. And what we have here is something that's very contrary again today. We're hearing, and boy, in the Roman church, they're talking an awful lot recently about exorcisms and casting out of demons. And in all the accounts that you hear, usually the exorcist tries to cause the demon to speak and to say something. Who are you? And they want to hear some audible words from the demons. Jesus forbade the demons to speak. And he kept on telling them to be muzzled. That's the word that was used. And so what we have in Mark chapter 1 is the Lord Jesus demonstrating his power in two separate categories. He is Lord God Almighty over the spirit world, casting out demons. And he is Lord God Almighty over the physical world, healing sickness and suffering and disease. And the Lord Jesus came ministering in such a way as to demonstrate to all the people throughout Galilee that he is the promised Messiah King. And he came to heal men and women of the oppression of demons, which is a picture of oppression from sin. And he came to heal this woman of her fever, which is a picture of the fever of sin in our mortal bodies as well. And he came to heal all the whosoevers that came to his door that night. And whosoever came, he cast out none. And everybody that came, he healed. Jesus was beginning to demonstrate that he is the Messiah King. And simultaneously, he's the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for his life, his ministry. We thank you, Father, for the compassion that he showed on those who were sick and suffering. We thank you, Lord, for the power and authority that he demonstrated through his word and his deeds. And Father, help us to come to love and know him more and more as we spend time studying the person of our Savior in this book. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name.